Chevra, so good evening and welcome to the Washington Heights congregation, the Bridgel's Gemara Share. We have been learning Maseches Sukkah, and I hear some static in the background. Okay. We've been learning Maseches. That's a very good question. I don't know, Tamsin, I don't know the answer to that question. I'd have to check that before the next year. I don't know if I'm able to. But let's, okay. We're learning Maseches Sukkah. And one of the topics that we've been covering is the Mishnah told us on Daf Tesavav, the Mishnah had a line that Hachutit Begodesh Lasos Lo Sukkah Eino Sukkah, meaning if a person Chotet Begodesh basically means that you have like a pile of straw, a pile of hay, and you rake some of it out, and in that way you make a sukkah. So the halacha is that that's not a valid sukkah. Chotet Begodesh is not a valid sukkah. Now, the Gemara comments, we'll analyze this halacha in a few moments, but the Gemara comments, it's where it says Hachotit Begodesh, it is it's 11 lines above the Mishnah. It says Hachotit Begodesh. Actually, let me scroll up to the top of the page so that you can. Hachotit Begodesh is towards the top of the page where I set it up. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Lo Shanu Ella She'ein Sham Chalal Tefach B'meshech Shiva. Aval Yesh Sham Chalal Tefach B'meshech Shiva Hareza Sukkah. Basically, the Gemara is saying that the only time when it is no good, if I'm Chotit Begodesh, that means I have this bale of hay, and I take my rake and I scoop some of it out. Now, my intention is not to make a sukkah, but it ends up that vayhiva boker vihine hileya, boom, chick chack, you end up you have a sukkah because you emptied out some area, some space, and now you have enough space for a kosher sukkah. So the Gemara says that this halacha, the hachotit begodesh is not good, is only talking about a case when you do not have chalal tefach b'meshach shiva, where you do not have the space of one tefach that is spread over seven. Just to show what this means, we'll draw another picture. Okay, this is going to be advanced artwork. Okay, so imagine that this is my bale of hay, correct? So far, so good. And what I'm doing is I'm using my rake and I'm going to, see, that's my rake, and I'm going to empty out some of the hay. Now, the halacha is that it's no good. It's not kosher because effectively, we'll talk about this a little bit more. That's called Tasev Lomin Ha'asoi. I'm not making the sukkah. The sukkah just happens because I'm raking out some of the stuff in the middle. However, let's say I have chalal tefach b'meshech shiva. Let's say this entire thing is hay, right? The hay's on top, but in the bottom, I have a space that is one tefach tall, and it is seven tefachim wide and seven tefachim long. That, if I have that, before I begin to rake it all out, so in that situation, it's going to be kosher. That's what the Gemara is saying. If I have chalal tefach b'meshech shiva, if I have a space of one tefach over seven, then it's going to be kosher. Can you see the Gemara now? Let's try this again. If I have chalal tefach b'meshech shiva, if I have one tefach height spread out over seven, then it's going to be kosher. So I have seven long, seven wide, right? Seven tefachim long, seven tefachim wide. That's what? Each tefach, let's say, is 3 inches, so it's less than 2 feet long and wide, and it is one tefach, like 3 inches tall, 3 inches tall, then it's going to be kosher. That's what the Gemara says. If it is yesham halal tefach b'meshach shiva harezu sukkah. If you have one tefach spread out over seven, then it's kosher. Tanyana mehochi. The Gemara says I also have a brisa to this effect. Hachotet begodesh la'asos lo sukkah harezu sukkah. If I dig into a silo, I need a better term, like rake it out or something. I rake out the hay from a silo in order to make a sukkah, so it's a good sukkah. Frek the Gemara, vanantnan in the sukkah. Didn't we learn in the Mishnah that it's not a good sukkah? Right? We have a braisa, tanya nami hochi, we have a braisa that says, ahachotit begodesh, that when I rake out the hay, that it is a good sukkah. Didn't our Mishnah say it's not a good sukkah? Elalav shmamina, kid Rav Huna, shmamina. This is a proof to Rav Huna. In other words, Rav Huna's idea that there is a difference between whether I have chalal tefach b'meshach shiva or I don't have chalal tefach b'meshach shiva, Rav Huna's idea that it depends on whether I have one tefach that is spread out or not, that idea of Rav Huna is the answer to this contradiction in sources, whether it's good or it is not good. The Gemara says another way. Basically, there are three ways of saying the same thing. The first way is just Rav Huna has an assertion. The second way is that we have a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. And the third way is also, Ikadurami Le Mirma. Right? Others ask it as a question. It's not Nachotit Begadish Hasol Sukkah in Law Sukkah. Right? The Mishnah says, Afam Chotit Begadish, it's not a good Sukkah. Ay, Vahatanya. Harezu sukkah, didn't the price say it's a good sukkah? Amar Rav Huna, lo kasha, kamish yesham chalal tefach b'meshach shiva, kamish einsham chalal tefach b'meshach shiva. In one case, you have a tefach height spread over seven. The other case, you do not have a tefach height spread over seven. Effectively, the three versions in the Gemara are all saying the same thing. Version one is just an assertion that Rav Huna makes. Version two is not an assertion that Rav Huna makes, but we have a question, and the Gemara says, oh, I could answer that question based on the statement of Rav Huna. And then version three in the Gemara is that we ask a question, and Rav Huna himself came, and Rav Huna himself answered that question. That is the three versions in the Gemara. So far, so good, Chevra? Okay.
I always wondered about this halacha because I know that in Russia, when they made hay, the workers stayed in the field overnight and they would make a tent like this out of the haystack and spend the night there. Uh-huh. So it seems like it's a good temporary dwelling because it was done before. So that's why I always had question about this particular halacha that when you dig out a haystack, then it's not a good sukkah.
Like, that's an interesting question. In other words, what you're saying is that you saw it, like in Neinu Haros, you saw that people actually slept in that type of situation. The people who worked in the field or whatever, they used it. So what I would maintain is enochanami. If people are doing it, if you're raking out the hay in order to sleep in it, certainly that would be okay. At least we'll discuss in a couple minutes. Certainly, according to the Rambam, that's okay because then you're doing it l'shem tzel. Then you're building it in order to create some sort of shade. So for the Rambam, it's definitely okay. Our case, our Mishnah, is talking about a situation where someone My understanding is like when people work in the field, they usually just flip the hay to make big bundles. Their intention is not to sleep in the hay at night. That might be a somewhat unusual situation, Joseph, that you encountered. I don't think that is the standard type of thing. I don't think in the normal case that's what's done. We'd have to question if that would be what's normally done, whether that would change the halacha. I don't know. My guess is that I'd have to think about it. So I'm not even going to venture to make a guess. I'd have to think that one through. Okay. So now, Chefra, let's just learn some Rashi together, and then we'll show how the Rambam disagrees with Rashi, because as we all know, Judaism is an amazing religion, and then the Rambam was born. And after we do that, we'll try to analyze this somewhat. Let's look at the Rashi. Rashi says, Ela she'in sham chalal tefach. The Rashi, I scrolled it, it's like towards the top of the page. So three lines from the top of the page that's showing. She'in sham chalal tefach gova b'meshech orech v'roch of shiva tefachim. It's only non-kosher. If you don't have one tefach tall, spread out over seven tefachim, kishir sukkah. Basically, Rashi is saying is that the psul in our Gemara is that the schach happens me'elav. The schach happens on its own. It did not have a shame schach mitchila. It was not considered schach originally. If you do not have one tefach height spread out over seven, you did not have the shame schach originally, and therefore the sukkah, read the schach thing, is na'aseh me'elav, it happened on its own. Let's do the next Rashi. Avo im yeshom schach chalal tefach ohehu. If you have a opening of a tefach, then it is an ohel. Nimtza shem schacha also godish. This pile of hay is considered schach. Ukshechotet bo milmata lemaila ad shemagbia es hachalal l'shi'or gavoa asara. Ein zu asiyoso. Shaharei eino mitakein ela hadefanos. What Rashi is saying, and I'll draw a picture in a minute, what Rashi is basically saying is that if you have an opening, you have a height of a tefach, like we showed in the picture beforehand, so in that case, you already have shem schach. In that case, what you are doing when you make it taller, when you dig out more, and Rashi says you make it taller milmata lamaila by going up. When you make it taller, what you are doing is you are expanding the walls, and the din of ta'aseh lo min ha'asui is not on when you expand walls. Ta'aseh lo min ha'asui applies to the schach; it does not apply to the walls. That's what Rashi is saying. Okay, so now, according to Rashi, the issue in our Gemara is whether we have ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, meaning the halacha is you have to make a sukkah. If I do not make the sukkah, if the sukkah is just made on its own, that is not a good sukkah. So far, so good, Chevra? Thumbs up? Excellent. Now, yes.
How do you make a sukkah on your own? How is the sukkah made on its own?
So the sukkah was made on its own in the sense of like this. If I'm going to draw the picture again because I just love drawing so much.
Okay.
If I have this big bale of hay.
Yeah.
And then what I do is I carve out. I take my rake and I take some stuff out from the middle. I did not intend to make this into a sukkah, really it's a sukkah now, no? Because I have walls on the side and schach on the top. Really, it's a sukkah. Since I didn't intend to make a sukkah, the sukkah just happened on its own. And the sukkah happening on its own, Rashi is saying the problem is ta'aseh velo min ha'asui. According to Rashi, the din is that you have to make a sukkah.
Okay.
And if it's asui, if the sukkah is made, or if you didn't plan on making the sukkah, it just happened, right? So that's not a kosher sukkah, Zakashi. It has to be ta'aseh, you have to make the sukkah, velo min ha'asui. That's the way Rashi understands it.
Okay.
Now, what's interesting about Rashi is Rashi says, let's go back to our beautiful picture. Rashi says that if I have, like the Gemara says, if I have this space already, if it is one tefach tall, right? One tefach top to bottom, if it's one tefach tall, so it's going to be kosher, right? Now, to be a kosher sukkah, you need more than one tefach height. You need a total of 10 tefachim height. So what Rashi says is, what I do afterwards is, I go and I clear out 9 additional tefachim. I clear out 9 additional tefachim on top of this.
Mm-hmm.
So now, right, I have the sukkah. This is my schach. And I have a total of 10 tefachim because my advanced mathematics teaches me that 1 plus 9 equals 10. So all is grand, right? That's what Rashi says. I go milmata lamala. I start at the bottom and I move up and then I end up with a total of 10 tefachim. That's the way it is according to Rashi. Now,
Rashi says that that's okay to be a sukkah?
Rashi says it's okay to build a sukkah because once...
No, I'm saying it's okay and it's a kosher sukkah.
Yes. It's a kosher, wonderful sukkah. Make a bracha on it. Enjoy your cake. Have a great time. You can have your cake and eat.
I got you.
Now, other Rishonim, and maybe we'll talk about why this is true in a few minutes. Other Rishonim say that no. The way Rashi gives the scenario that I am clearing out the top, other Rishonim say that's not good. But the case has to be that, again, I have my Godesh, and I have one Tefach in the middle, right? Other Rishonim say that in order for it to be kosher, you have to dig out at the bottom. Not that you dig out at the top, but you have 9 Tefachim going down, not going up. That opinion is found in the Ran. It's found in the Tosis Rid. This is a relatively well-known opinion among Rishonim. And the question that we'll talk about in a few minutes, just to kind of hold the question. The question is why? Why is there a machlokes about going up or going down? How come Rashi says it's good enough to go up? And other Rishonim say, no, if you go up, that's not good. It has to be that you go down.
The dispute really is where the one tefach really is.
Right. So there's obviously a practical question where the one tefach is, but I'm more interested in the conceptual issue.
Okay.
Why is it that some people say that going up is no good? Rashi says going up is good. Why would that be? Let's hold that question for a few moments.
Okay.
Again, so according to Rashi, I'm going to do beautiful art over here. The problem with Chotet Begadish is what we call that it's ta'aseh, that you have to make the sukkah, right? And ta'aseh below min ha'asoy.
It can't be made by itself.
It can't be made by itself. That's what Rashi says. The Rambam, however, right, disagrees with Rashi. If I'll read you the Rambam in Perek Hey of Hilchos Sukkah Halacha Tes. The Rambam tells us, based on the halacha that we encountered already on Daf Ches, that a sukkah is kosher, even though you didn't build it l'shem mitzvah. When I put that sukkah up, I'm not shuckling and putting on my gartel and having a lot of kavan to say, I'm doing a mitzvah. No, l'sukkah is kosher, even though you don't make it l'shem mitzvah, providing you made it for shades, like the Rambam. B'hu sheti asuya l'shem sale. You have to make the sukkah for shade, right? And therefore, a sukkah of non-Jews, a sukkah of an animal, etc., all the cases that we had on the Avches are going to be kosher. Aval, sukkah shena'aseis me'eleha pisula l'fi shelo na'aseis l'tzeil. The Rambam says that if a sukkah is made on its own, it is puzzle. And the reason why it's puzzles of the Rambam is because lo na'aseis l'tzeil, right? It is not made for shade. Meaning, according to Rambam, the issue is not that you have to make a sukkah, but the sukkah has to be made for purposes of shade. In other words, when I have this bale of hay, when I have that bale of hay, so really, it's not providing any shade. It's just a bale of hay. So that's why it's not kosher, according to the Rambam. To be kosher, zok the Rambam, it has to be that it is providing shade. There is a certain dimension of shade that's necessary. When we spoke about that area of one tefach, that means one tefach is the minimum amount of shade. Shade less than a tefach is not shade. That's what the Rambam is saying. Rashi is saying very differently. Rashi says that the halacha is that you have to make it. And according to Rashi, if something is one tefach, so that is considered an ohel that I made. Right? This dimension, this one tefach that's inside that whole big haystack, right? That one tefach, according to Rashi, the reason why it works is because you made it. I made it, meaning it has the din of an ohel. There are other areas of halacha that one tefach is the minimum size of an ohel. We spoke about this a while ago. For example, tumas meis, no? Let's say you have a corpse that is underneath one tefach. So all the tumah spreads in this thing. If it's less than the tefach, so we'll just lower it a teeny bit. If it's less than tefach, that's called squashed tumah. And squashed tumah does not spread. Squashed tumah goes all the way up to the shamayim, goes all the way down to the tahom. That's tumah ritzutza. Rashi is not saying anything about shade. Rashi is saying that you have to make it. But what it means that I have to make it is I make something that al pi halacha is an ohel. And when I say I make something that al pi halacha is an ohel, one tefach is the bare minimum of ohel according to Rashi within our Gemara. So far, so good? Now.
Didn't we say that if the tefach was, Rashi said if the tefach was further down, and then they added 9 tefachim, they would become a kosher sukkah. So how can you say this now?
If I had one tefach to begin with, right? If I had one tefach to begin with, so then what I add afterwards is enough to make it a, what I add afterwards is going to make it a kosher sukkah. If I add 9 tefachim afterwards, that's going to become...
You just said that if you made it with one tefach, it's an ohel, and therefore it's kosher. So no, that's sukkah.
One second. Let's go slowly. Let's go slowly, Lev. Right? If I make one tefach to begin with, it's not kosher yet, right? Because it's still not 10 tefachim tall.
Oh, but it's just an ohel.
If I had one tefach of... If I had one tefach of, what's it called? If I had one tefach of shady stuff to begin with, if I had one tefach of an all hell to begin with, according to Rashi, that is going to be good enough. So that's the Gemara according to Rashi, that the halacha is that I have to make the sukkah, and making a sukkah means making it that it's one tefach to begin with, and then when I build it more, it's going to be okay. If I make the extra 9 tefachim, that's going to be okay according to Rashi. According to the Rambam, however, the halacha is that you do not have to make a sukkah. This is a point that the Emek Bracha makes. The Emek Bracha was Rabbi Aryeh Pomarchik. He was a student both of the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav. He passed away at a very young age. He was 38 when he passed away. As I get older, 38 sounds younger and younger. But Rabbi Aryeh Pomarchik makes the point that the Rambam holds that you do not have to make a sukkah. This din of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, this halacha that you have to make it, is not true according to the Rambam. There is no such thing that you have to make it. The halacha just is that the sukkah has to be something that provides shade, and one tefach is the minimum amount of shade. Says the Emek Bracha, we see this idea elsewhere in halacha. For example, there's a halacha that by Gittin, right? By Gittin, the halacha is at the kosav. You have to write the get. And the din of a kosav means you have to write it, but chak tochos is no good. What's chak tochos? Chak tochos would be this type of thing. Let's say I have an ink blot. And then what I do is I just erase. I didn't want to erase the whole thing. Let's do this again. I have a whole bunch of ink all over. And then what I do is I just take some of it away. Gently, gently, gently. So I take away some and I end up, this isn't working. My wonderful drawing is not working. But the basic idea is that if I do not do it on my own, I do not make the letters. I don't form the letters myself. But instead, what I do is I cut around the letters. So that is not called writing. In Hilchos Gittin, you have to write. You have to make the letter yourself. If you don't form the letter yourself, rather, if the letter is formed on its own by cutting out around the letter, that's no good. However, says the Emek Bracha, that din is only true by Gittin because there's a special pasuk in the Torah that says v'kasav, that you have to write. But when I do not have a pasuk that says v'kasav, so then cutting around it is good enough. And therefore, in our case, right, in our case, for the Rambam, it's going to be kosher when I am chotet begodesh, if I had a tefach to begin with. The only problem is that I need shade. For the Rambam, if I have one tefach, that's good shade. If I don't have one tefach, there's no shade. But the fact that I am not making the sukkah on my own, the fact that the sukkah is just made because I rake the stuff out, for the Rambam, that's not a concern. Because the Rambam says the only time that there's a problem of, how do I say chok tochos, like engraving out, the only time when you don't have to form the item yourself, it's okay if you dig that. The only time it's a problem, if you kind of draw around the perimeter, that's when the Torah says it's a problem. But in a situation where the Torah doesn't say that's a problem, so it's going to be okay. That is Judaism according to the Rambam. So far, so good, Chefa?
Well, I have a question about this.
Yes.
What about if you come to a stack of hay? One day you make this opening of one tefach high, and leave, and the next day you come and finish the job and make it 10 tevach in chayit. Yeah. Why is it different?
So I think
why is it different from?
How's it different from what?
How is it different from starting with the opening?
So I don't think it's different. In other words, I think it could be kosher in that case also. As long as when all is said and done, I end up with 10 tefachim. I don't have to do it all on one day. But as a matter of halacha, it has to be that I have one tefach of shade that was, again, I'm speaking for the Rambam. If I have one tefach that was made as shade, it's good enough. If everything else happens on its own because I just, I rake it out, but I don't intend to make it, that's okay. As long as one tefach was made for shade, for the Rambam, that's okay. For Rashi, the issue is not that one tefach is made as shade. For Rashi, the issue is that you have to make one tefach. That Rashi is not focused on the shade, but the Rambam is focused on the shade. For Rashi, the issue is about you making it. For the Rambam, the issue is not about you making it, because the Rambam says you don't have to make it. If it gets made on its own because you dig around the edges, that's okay according to the Rambam. Joseph, did I answer your question?
Not really. I mean, first of all, what do you make? Do you make the walls or do you make the schach? What is the ikar there to make?
So according to...
Probably the schach.
Probably the schach. What Rashi says, which is interesting, is so long as you have one tefach that you made on your own, according to Rashi, this is tasa velomina asoy. Zakt Rashi, there's no problem on the walls. The fact that the walls are made on their own is not a problem. Here, look at this Rashi. Rashi writes, "Im yesham chalal tefach ohel." Rashi writes, "Chalal tefach ohel hu." One tefach is considered an ohel. Nimtza shem schachal also godish. Therefore, that hey. Baal has the shame schach, it's considered schach. Ukeshechotet bo milmata lemala ad shemagbia es hechalal, when you dig down from bottom to the upwards until you raise that empty space and it becomes shir gavoa asara, it becomes ten tefachim tall, ein zu asiyaso. You're not making it. Sharei eno metakin el adefanos. Ubedefanos laminan tasav lamina osoi. But Rashi says that what you're doing is you are working on the walls, and walls do not create a problem of tasav lomina asui. The din of tasav lomina asui is on the schach, not on the walls. This is the way it goes according to Rashi. So again, so Rashi and the Rambam,
So if, according to Rashi, it's okay to make the schach before the walls.
Ah, that's a great question. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach asks that kasha. Excellent. In other words, here it goes. Right? The Ramah tells me, in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah tells me that you are not allowed to put up the schach before the walls. This is actually a big deal sometimes when people have, Marjorie commented to me in an email that not living in Washington Heights has a tiny advantage that it's somewhat more practical to learn Hilchos Sukkah because you actually build a sukkah. Often, those of us in the Heights don't get to build a sukkah so often, although it's a good idea to try to help out. But the Rambam tells me in Siman Tov Resh Lamed Hey that you should not first put the schach and then put the walls. Because if you put the schach first and then you put the walls, so then it is not going to be kosher, because the schach has to be machshir. The schach has to be like the final touch that makes it into a kosher sukkah. That's the shita of the Ramah. You get the impression from this Gemara, at least according to Rashi, that what happens over here is I have one tefach. That one tefach in the middle was made as schach, And then I am digging up and up and up and up. In other words, I'm building the walls after the schach. So when I build the walls after the schach, right? If I build the walls after the schach, it's going to be kosher. Because according to Rashi, this is what I have, right? I have one tefach. That one tefach is, I'll take the word shade out, right? That one tefach is going to be, that one tefach is made l'shem sukkah. But I need another 9 tefachim. So what I do is I draw an additional 9 tefachim, right? Great. But that means I had schach before the walls. And you get the impression that according to Rashi, it's going to be kosher. That's one issue. But you also have another problem, according to Rashi, to some extent. Because what I'm doing now is I am cutting upwards. What that means, l'cha'ora, is this tiny area that was on top of my sukkah beforehand, that tiny one bit of schach is now gone. And then as I go up, 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 right, I'm removing all this stuff, and now I am making a new schach level. No?
Yeah.
It makes more sense, say the Rishonim, that you have to drill down. You can't drill up. Because if I have the schach over here at my one tefach level, I know my art skills are just amazing, right? But if I drill down, then this schach, this area remains the schach, and now I'm just making that schach work because I go down. However, if I go upwards, effectively what I'm saying is I am creating something new as schach. It was not schach beforehand. So the issue as to whether I'm going down or I'm going up is actually relevant to that conversation beforehand. So again, so according to the Rambam, we pointed out there is no halacha of ta'aseh velo min ha'asui. The Rambam just has a halacha that you have to make. The Rambam's only halacha is that you have to do it for shade. That's the din according to the Rambam. However, according to Rashi, there is a halacha of ta'aseh velo min ha'asui, and the halacha of ta'aseh velo min ha'asui that Rashi develops means that you need to have one tefach of sukkah that you made as sukkah. According to the Rambam, one tefach is a minimum amount of shade. According to Rashi, one tefach is the amount that is called a sukkah. Now, let's just
But according to Rambam, they also complete the walls after the schach is already there. So it's kind of the same issue.
So according to the Rambam, it's not as clear about building the walls after the schach, because the possibility exists. Oh, what happened over here? The possibility exists. You see like a blank screen over here? Let me just try to... The possibility basically exists that I could view, like, schach does not have any maximum thickness. So I have one area, one tefach of shade, right? There's one tefach of shaded space. Yes. But that one tefach of shaded space goes up 50 stories. So yes. That's okay, right? And then when I cut it out, I'm still cutting into the shade. Perhaps that's the issue in the Gemara. Again, things are not 100% clear. We're just trying to explain the Gemara as understood by the Rambam and the Gemara as understood by Rashi. Let me show you one more thing over here, just because it's cool.
Didn't you say that the Rama says that
the Rama says that you have to put up the schach after the wall.
Right. So if you drill down, the schach is up. So it doesn't work.
If I drill down, the schach
is still up. The schach, and therefore it doesn't work.
Uh-huh. And if I drill up,
then if it does. If I drop, it does work because you're taking the schach away.
Because then I'm putting more schach after. Okay, that's one way of looking at that. And that makes sense. That definitely makes sense. I should, again, I'm just trying to present issues to think about in this Gemara. Can you see the Gemara screen now, Chevra?
Yes,
okay. I just want to show you one Tosfos, and then we'll try to move on to the next Mishnah.
Okay.
Tosfos di ramaso aval im yesham chalal tefach.
Uh-huh.
Right? If you remember, our Gemara says that if you have one tefach, so that, and the tefach is spread over seven tefachim, so that's what I would call the primordial sukkah. It's like the most basic, tiniest sukkah. So in that case, you have one tefach, then it's going to be kosher. That's what the Gemara says. Now, where do we get this measurement of one tefach? So Tosfos understands, Avam yesham chalal tefach zaktosis matzinan lemeimar Rav Huna l'taymei the amala el gabi bein suka l'suka tefach v'shema man de amar hasam arba'a hacha molde etc. Meaning, Tosfos is saying that our Gemara is connected to a Gemara that we learned already, which is when I have one sukkah on top of another sukkah. So how much space between them is necessary to invalidate the lower sukkah? So Rav Huna says one tefach. There's another opinion in the Gemara, four tefachim. There's a third opinion in the Gemara of ten tefachim. Zok Tosfos, that our Gemara that says that the minimum space is one tefach, that makes sense only according to Rav Huna, who says that between sukkah and sukkah, you need one tefach. That if you have one sukkah on top of another sukkah, a tefach of space between them is enough to invalidate it. But according to the opinion that four tefachim is the necessary shear to invalidate, you would need four tefachim. The opinion that says, the opinion of Shmuel, that 10 tefachim is what's necessary, so there's nothing to talk about. The whole Gemara doesn't make any sense according to Shmuel, because if you had 10 tefachim to begin with, of course it's going to be kosher. You don't have to add anything, etc. So what Tosfos is noting is that the issue in our Gemara relates to the global question as to how much space between sukkahs. In other words, what is considered the minimum size of an ohel? What's considered the minimum size of an ohel? That makes more sense in Rashi world than it does in the Rambam world. You see, in Rashi's world, the question is ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asoy. The question is whether I made it. What did I make? I made a sukkah. Well, what's a sukkah? What's the smallest thing on the planet that can be a sukkah? One tefach, four tefachim, right? Those measurements I had earlier are the minimum size in Judaism to be a tefach, to be a sukkah. One tefach or four. That's what Tosfos comments. But according to the Rambam, we're not talking about the minimum size of a sukkah b'chala terakula. Rather, what I'm talking about is how much shade is considered shade. It's not a global din of what's considered a sukkah. For the Rambam, one tefach is considered shade. And the whole issue in our Gemara is whether it is that I'm making shade. So the point I'm just trying to bring out from this Tosfos, I'm not 100% sure that this is correct, but usually I like stuff that I say. I think the point that Tosfos is making, that according to the opinion of four tefachim, you would need that four tefachim was dug into the haystack originally. That point makes more sense if we're with Rashi, that the halacha is ta'asa, that you're making a sukkah. What's a sukkah? One tefach is a sukkah. Four tefachim is a sukkah. We're talking about what's the bare minimum of making. However, according to the Rambam, the issue at hand is what is considered shade, and the minimum of shade, we could say, is one tefach no matter what. That's the way I would like to understand this issue. Any questions, or should we go weiter?
Yeah, it almost seems that according to Tosfos or Rashi, once you have the something that's called sukkah, it may be not royally dira, it may be not sufficient to dwell in, but it's already called sukkah.
That's correct.
So once you increase the height, that's why it's already sukkah, and that's why there is no problem according to Remo, because sukkah is already there. It's just not royally dira. That's why you increase the height.
But if I have the schach before the walls, so then the Rambam is going to say the sukkah is not there. To be a sukkah, it has to be that you first have walls, then you have schach. That's what the Rambam says.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. So if there is already this hole in the stack, that means, and it's one tefach high or four tefachim high, whatever the Psaki is, right? That from that point on, it's already considered a sukkah, because it already has the walls and the roof.
Agreed. 100%. Yes.
And then what happens is that when you just increase the height, then you make sukkah ra'ui lidira. So you make it so that you can dwell in, which is the mitzvah. Your mitzvah is to dwell in the sukkah. If sukkah is too small, you cannot exactly live in it, right?
That's a nice way of saying it. In other words, I had a sukkah, but it's not a sukkah that I could, that's ra'ui lidira. I can't live in it yet. So I have to make it taller to make it ra'ui lidira. That's correct. That's correct. According to the Rambam, the issue is not whether I had a sukkah to begin with. The issue is whether that area that I had is considered something that gives off shade or not gives off shade. That's what makes sense according to the Rambam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's begin the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells me, where Tazayin Amud Aleph, HaMishal Shel Defunos Momala Lamata. Right? Let's say, here's the case. And this, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, like, this Mishnah is definitely against that Ramah. By the way, that Ramah that says that you can't have the schach before the walls, it's such a difficult Ramah. There's a tshuva in the Torah's Rafael. The Torah's Rafael was Rebbefo Shapiro, who was the father-in-law of the Netziv, and he was the Rosh Hashiva in Valozhin. Rebbefo Shapiro has a whole tshuva where he just says, like, he has like 20 rayas against this Ramah. That whole Ramah that you can't have the schach before the walls is so difficult. Nonetheless, when I once got a shayla about this, I tell the person, listen, you put up the schach before the walls. It's not so difficult to fix. Just pick your hand up and reach up and move the schach, and then it's okay, right? It's really not that hard to fix, so you may as well try to fix it. My general approach in life, I was talking to another one of my students earlier this week, is if something's a shayla and it's easy to rectify, you may as well rectify it. What's the big deal? Right? If it's a hard thing, right? So then, okay. But if it's like a very easy shayla, why get involved in such a very easy shayla? Right? It takes 20 seconds to kasher the spoon. So you may as well kasher it. What's the big deal? All right. So this case also. Like, you're right. The Ramah that says schach before the walls is non-kosher is very difficult. Rebbe Fosh Shapiro disagrees. However, if you did it, right? So you may as well fix it. It's so easy to fix. Just pick it up, chick-chack. It's like doing a little bit of calisthenics. Just move it up and down. It's good enough. Okay. Now, our Mishnah that we're learning now is also against the Ramah. Zuck the Mishnah. HaMishal Shel Defanos Momala Lamato. If I lower down the walls, I start on the top and I go down. Right? Rashi comments that what I'm doing is, right, milma lamata kai shosho, basically hischo la arog ha mechitza. You're weaving. And you start weaving the mechitza at the top area near the schach, right? You weave it, right? Hischo la arog ha mechitza etzo ha schach. You begin to weave it by the schach, but oreg uba kilape mata, and you're going downwards. So if I begin weaving at the top and I go downwards, so im gavoa min ha'aretz shlosha tfachim psula, milmat psula, right? Meaning, that if those walls that I weave are three tefachim above the ground, it's pasul. It's not a good sukkah. However, milmata lamayla, if I start from the bottom and I go up, im gavoa asara tefachim ksheira. If I start at the bottom and I go up and it is 10 tefachim tall, then it's kosher. Reb Yossi Omer, kishem shemilmata lamayla asara tefachim, kach milmata lamata asara tefachim. Reb Yossi says, just like 10 tefachim starting from the bottom is good enough, so also 10 tefachim starting from the top is good enough. Effectively, what we have over here is as follows. We have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if I start my mechita at the top and then I go down, 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 if the bottom, the lowest area that I wove, is within three tefachim of the ground, it's kosher. Within three tefachim of the ground is called lavud. Lavud means it's like attached to the ground. It's within three tefachim of the ground. Good enough. Rashi says three tefachim is kideshi is dakir hagedi bebas rosh damar psula. Right, three tefachim is like a kid, not a kid as in one of my children, but a kid as in a little goat. A little goat can run through it when it's three tefachim. Therefore, it's not a good mechitza because the little goat can run through. So if I start from the top, it's going to be kosher if it gets within three tefachim from the ground. If I start from the bottom, as long as it's 10 tefachim tall, it's going to be kosher. Reb Yossi, however, says that if you have a mechitza that is 10 tefachim tall starting from the bottom, that's good. And if it's 10 tefachim hanging starting from the top, that's good. There is no distinction for Reb Yossi between bottom up and top down. They're both the same. As long as it's 10 tefachim, it's good. Zakti Gemara, b'may kamiflagi. What's the machlokas? Mar savar mechitza teluya materes. Umar savar mechitza teluya eina materes. One opinion is that a hanging mechitza is good. The other opinion is that a hanging mechitza is no good. Okay, so let's just talk about this for a few minutes. Effectively, what we have is a machlokas about how you make mechitzos. How do you make mechitzos? The Tana Kama says, we'll draw it again because I'm just like, I'm so into my artwork today. The Tana Kama says that if I start from the top and I, let's say, have a mechita that's 10 tefachim, right? But it is 5 tefachim off the ground, so it's puzzle. Tana Kama says this is no good. Hanukkah says it's possible. But Reb Yossi says it's going to be kosher because since you have 10 tefachim from the top, it's going to be good. Everybody agrees that if I have 10 tefachim from the bottom, right, 10 tefachim starting from the ground, it's going to be okay, even though the schach is not on top of it. The schach does not have to be right on top of the mechitzos. It's going to be kosher, even though you have space between the schach and the mechitzos. The question, the way the Gemara phrases it is, whether a mechitza teluya, whether a hanging mechitza is called a mechitza. Does the mechitza have to touch the ground? And by touch, the halacha defines it as being within three tefachim of the ground. Now, many Rishonim use slightly different terms. Our Gemara uses the term of mechita tluya, of hanging mechita. And in this case, when I start from the top and I go down, it's a hanging mechita because it's not touching the ground. You see, I have 5 blank tfachim, 5 tfachim of space at the bottom. So many Rishonim say, use the term hanging mechita, the same as our Gemara uses. Others use a different term. They use the term of good asik, right? And good aches. Good asik means that you pull it up. If you have a mechitza, so you use your imagination and you pull it up, you drag it up to the top, to the schach. The other version is good. Good means wall in Aramaic. Good aches means that we lower the wall. So you have a wall and you go down. What's the reason why everyone agrees, good asik, everyone agrees in this case, what we labeled A, when you have 10 tefachim at the bottom, you can use your halachic imagination to draw up. But there's a machlokes about whether when I have 10 tefachim in the case B, I have 10 tefachim from the top, can I draw down? What's this machlok? Why is it that's easier to draw up, that everyone agrees drawing up is okay, but it's harder to draw down?
Well, in a house, if it's a house, it can have a window, and that's normal for the house. So you could say that there is a skylight or something, just like you have it in the house. But if you have a big opening in the bottom, then it's something that does not. It's not like a regular construction. It's not constructed to
be. You're using the term regular construction. I'm not sure if like skylights is relevant. The skylight is something that's in the ceiling. Right now we're talking about just the walls. But
In the wall there's a window in the wall.
So what you're suggesting is, and I think what you're saying is similar to what the Meiri says. When normal people build walls, so normal people build a wall, you start at the bottom and you build up, correct? Most people don't build a wall that you start at the top and you build down. Correct? Kayla agrees with this one.
Yeah, but I'm not a trained engineer, so, you know.
Okay. Well, I'm assuming that what we all think is intuitive, like, makes sense. That the normal way to build a wall is you go up, not that you go down. Therefore, the halacha says, good asik, we can go up, but going down is not good because that's not a normal way of building a wall. But, explains the Meiri, since the issue is just whether it's a normal way to build a wall or not, so that's not a svara on the level of d'oraisa. Min ha-Torah, we're going to go up and down. Mechitzos, go up and down. Min ha-Torah. Midrabanan, we say it depends on what's normal. That's the way the Meiri explains it. Now, this issue, just one last point in our sugya, one last point is as soy. Okay. No, I'm not gonna go back to the Mishnah. It'll just take too long to push all the buttons. But the Mishnah gives us a case that I start making my walls from the top, and I'm going down, 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 down. If it reaches within 3 tefachim of the ground, it's good. You get the impression, and Rashi says, that I'm weaving the walls. I'm weaving. That means it sounds something like canvas sukkahs, no? Anything that you weave is going to blow in the wind. Da-da-da-da-da, la-la-da-da-da-da, it's blowing in the wind, right? That's probably what's going on when you are weaving it, going up or down. That would seem to indicate that a canvas sukkah is going to be kosher. There's a whole discussion in the postgame about canvas sukkahs, whether they are kosher or they're not kosher. And the reason why it might not be kosher is because it blows in the wind, and maybe that's not a mechitza. Maybe a mechitza has to be something that's stable, that remains in place. This past week, I gave a hesped for Rev Yehuda Herzl Henkin. He was nifter. He was the husband of Rabbi Nitchana Henkin, who founded Nishmat. And he has four volumes of Tshuvos. And in one of his volumes, he has an interesting idea where he says that in many shuls, they have something which is absolutely pasul as a mechitza because it's just a curtain that hangs down. He says, well, a curtain that hangs down is pasul as a mechitza because it blows in the wind. It would be interesting, though. The mechitza in Mount Sinai is going to be kosher, but the mechitza in Dombrov is not kosher because in Dombrov, what they just have is like a curtain that goes back and forth. And a curtain, since it moves, right? People know where Dombrov is?
Yes.
Right? So yes. A curtain that moves back and forth, Rav Herzl Henkin contends, is not going to be kosher as a mechitza. Of course, that's making a number of assumptions in terms of what is the need for a mechitza in shul. Is a mechitza in the shul there to protect mingling of the sexes during davening? Is a mechitza to protect the gaze, that you shouldn't be staring during davening? According to both approaches, that's to protect mingling, to protect and to prevent a gaze, so then a curtain would be enough. What Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin's assuming is that mechitza is like a formal din, mechitza. Just like I have mechitza by sukkah, right? And I could discuss good achas, good asik, etc. So that would be good enough in the shul also. What would be really weird, according to his shita, is that atzures ha-pesach should count as a mechitza in shul, no? You, isn't that wild? You know atzures ha-pesach? Like our town Erev? Yosef, checking the Erev is never going to mean the same thing again. Because this could be the biggest clue in Judaism. No, what you need is just atzures ha-pesach. A post, and a little string on top, and that counts as a mechitza in shul. Right, Mount Sinai is much too from. The bridge is much too from. Right, well, why do you need like this mechitza? Just put up a tzuras ha-pesach. If it's right, this is you, who was that guy with the Erev hat? There was like that TV show making fun of the Erev in the Hamptons, and one of these guys had like the Erev hat. Then he had, said that Erev is like from the Hebrew word for loophole.
Yeah, that was John Stewart.
John Stewart.
Yeah.
Right? So this is even better than anything that John Stewart could come up with, because I don't think it makes any sense that the mechitza in shul is a formal din mechitza. That just doesn't resonate with me. It seems to me much more likely that the din of a mechitza in shul is either to prevent a mingling or to prevent gazing, but be it as it may, it's not a formal din of mechitza. Okay, Chevra, we went a teeny bit over time, but last week we went a teeny bit under time. So
why does Rabbi Henkin say that you need a formal, you can't use a sheet?
Again, his position is that's a formal din mechitza in shul everywhere. Maybe we could discuss afterwards.
But he's saying that it's not because of mingling and it's not because of distraction, so therefore, what is he saying?
Once it's called a mechitza, it has to be a mechitza. We know what a mechitza is in Torah.
Right.
That's good enough for me. Okay, Chevra.
Okay.
Have a good night, and Yashikai, thank you for coming to learn.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.